Good morning. You know, I was thinking about this, and last night when I went to bed, I had 4 pages of notes. This morning when I got up and started looking at it, went down to 2 pages all of a sudden. So we never know exactly what God's going to bring before us until we get here. You know, I was thinking about our lives and how we live our lives and what our lives has in store. And how we fight against ourselves. You know, God prepared a way that we could all live and live abundantly. And it's following after Him. You know, Christ came into the world that, and this is more of a talk more than what it is a sermon, because I'm going to tell you how I feel out of my heart. But I started thinking of everything that we do. But everything that we do and how we hinder ourselves. You know, I was thinking about what sin is, and I went over to a good old dictionary. It says, the voluntary departure of a moral agent from a known rule. You know, sin is voluntary. We don't have to. A lot of people say, well, the devil made me do it, or somebody else led me astray. But sin is not one of those things that we have to do. You know, Christ said that He lived upon the earth. And I know this sounds a lot like the last time I spoke, but most of you can't remember that anyway. But when Christ lived upon the earth, He lived without sin. So it's not impossible. It's only possible as much as we want it to be. And I started thinking about my life, all the things that I do. And it's not all the things I do. Sometimes it's the things that I don't do also. And go on with that definition. Sin comprehends not only action, but the neglect of knowing duty, the evil thoughts and purposes, words and desires, whatsoever is contrary to God's commands or law. That hits us all. And you know, where we get into it is, we don't a lot of times think about what we're doing or things that we're not doing. You know, our neighbor may be over there sitting down and not having anything to eat, and yet we don't share with them. Or somebody may be stumbling along the way and we don't try to help them. You know, it is our duty to love each other and to love each other as much as we do ourselves. And I know that's hard to do. How many people can actually say they love their neighbor as much as they do themselves? You know, that hits us kind of hard. And you know, if we don't love them as much as we do ourselves, then we're in trouble. We're in sin. Anytime we do something that we neglect to do something and we stray by the way, and pray for me because my mind keeps going blank and sometimes I have to stop and think. But when we start thinking about what we haven't done and so much of what we have done, and I wanted to bring the first verse of Scripture out in Romans 6, verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Why would we want to continue in something that's going to destroy us? And God's saying, no, I don't want you to live that way any longer. I want to bring you out from that. You know, a lot of times we've got to move out from where we're at. A lot of times we start thinking about, well, it won't hurt for me to do this. It's only one time. And I found out a long time ago, when you break God's law once, it's a lot easier the second time. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in? You know, once we bring Christ into our life, we are dead to that sin. We no longer have a life of sin. We should be living a life of loyalty, a life of grace, that we no longer sin. And I know it's hard to do, and it's hard not to neglect the things that we need to do. But how many people this week has witnessed to somebody and told them about Christ? How many of us here this morning has witnessed to someone and let them know what Christ has done for them? You know, every time I get out, and I don't want to harp on my liver or anything like that, but every time I go talk to someone, they ask me how I've been doing and stuff. And that gives me a chance to tell them what Christ has done for me and how Christ is my deliverer. How many of you has Christ delivered in their lifespan? You know, everyone has been delivered from something. I don't care if you're 5 years old or 50 years old or even none of us is much more than that. But we have been delivered. If no other reason, we've been delivered from a world of sin. We no longer live in a sinful life if we trust after Christ. And we go on to verse 6 down through 9. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should no longer serve him. You know, we have been delivered, and we no longer should serve the flesh. We no longer should serve after the things that destroy us. And that's what sin does. We're there, and we'd be destroyed by sin. And we'd be destroyed by what it does. You know, it's like a growth, and the more we're into it, the bigger it gets. Knowing this, our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. If you've taken a spiritual death, if you said that you're following God and you're going to die out to the world, you're not going to serve sin any longer. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ is being raised from the dead, he dieth no more. Death hath no dominion over him. You know, does death and sin have dominion over you? You may say, well, I don't sin that much. But that much can send you to hell. If you keep sinning and living in sin and neglecting God's word, neglecting what God has you to do, you know, that's sin. It's going to send you to hell. You're going to die to the Savior. You died once to the world, but you're going to fall away and not serve God any longer. And you know, I went through a part of my life that I gave up and no longer served Christ. And you know, I never went to church, and I went through the things of the world, and God had to bring me back. He had to destroy the sin of my life and show me where the sin was. And once I accepted that I had sinned and asked God to forgive me, he brought me back unto righteousness. You know, if we live in righteousness, we're not going to do the things of the world like we used to do. We're not going to go out and party the way we used to do. We're not going to go out and cause the ruckus that we used to do. We're not going to go out and do the things that the flesh wants to do. But we're going to serve Christ. We're going to serve him in all that we do. As I said, when I got up this morning, I had 4 pages of notes. You know, I'm glad I didn't come with all 4 pages. Because the more I read them, the more I was condemned. And I know that's the hardest thing to do, thinking about the preacher lives it for a week or two when you start doing a sermon. Because you're praying, God, give me the sermon for Sunday. Give me what I need to bring out. And every time he does that, he brings out something that gets us. Hits us right between the eyes. That will condemn us. Then we have to bring it back again and live it again on Sunday morning. You know, it's not an easy life. But God called us into a calling. If we didn't have that calling and we didn't do what God had us to do, then we'd no longer be in a righteous life. We have that sin in our life. Brenda, would you bring me that water? In John, 1 John 2:1 through 6, this happens to be one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I know last time I told you a few of my favorites. This is one that comes right to me. And every time I go out to witness and I want to tell people about Christ, this one always comes to mind. And it has for years. And it's one of my favorite verses, as I said. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know, that's a stiff command that Christ gave us there. You know, Christ won't ask us to do anything that he doesn't expect us to do. And yeah, I'm using King James this morning because it's one of my favorite versions. I do like the others and I study under the others, but I think King James has a poetry to it and a rhythm to it, and it really fits in a lot. If you study a lot, you can understand it better. My little children, these things I write unto you. You know, he didn't say, I write unto other people. He didn't say that I write unto the church. He said, I write unto you. It's a personal thing. And as John was saying, this is for you, from me directly to you. And you know, Christ sends these messages directly to us. That you sin not. You know, as I said just a minute ago, Christ won't ever ask us something that's impossible for us. He'll never tell you to do something that you can't do. You know, I think back all the times in my life and everything that I did in my life. It's a choice when I walk away from God. It's a choice every time I do something that's not pleasing to God. That you sin not. These things write unto you that you sin not. And if you do sin, you know, he's saying don't do it. But if you do it, he has a remedy for it. You know, God always has some way of curing what's wrong with us. If we have a physical illness, he can touch our body and make us well. But we got a spiritual wellness, and this or illness. This is what he's telling us. If you got that spiritual illness, I have a cure for it. If you got sin in your life, and I could ask right now and ask you how many people's got sin in their life, and most of us would be afraid to lift our hand. But if we're honest, each and every one of us has sin in our life. Each and every one of us don't do what we need to be doing to please the Master. But if you do sin, you have an advocate. And that advocate is Jesus Christ. He's like an attorney going before the Father and saying, yeah, they messed up again. But Father, I died for them. I shed my blood that they one day would accept and would live for me. You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know, he's the only man that without the blood of him dying, you could be called righteous. Because none of us lived a righteous life. You know, it doesn't take a lot of experience to start living in sin. You know, I was thinking about that little baby. When it gets old enough to talk and move around, you ask that baby, did you do something? No, I didn't do it. They always blame it on something else. And you know, they're taught to lie right off the bat. They're taught to do the things without us even telling them. A lot of times the parents lead them right down that road too, I'll give you that. But they're taught to lie from the very beginning. Sin comes to them from the very beginning. But at that point, they're not accountable for it. But once we become accountable for it, we got something that will erase that sin in our life. And that's Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's the one that will go to the Father and said, my blood was shed for them, and they're no longer accountable for it. Father, forgive them. I died that they may live. And that living is a righteous life. It's not dying and going to hell. You know, a lot of people are dying and still living on this side of the grave because their soul has been ate up with sin. Their soul is being consumed with sin, and they don't live a life. They live unto death. And he is a propitiation. You know, that's a big word. He's a propitiation. He's an atoning sacrifice. He's a sacrifice that died for each and every one of us that we may live. For our sins, and not only ours, but also the sins of the whole world. You know, he didn't say this group over here can be forgiven, or that group over there. He didn't say the only Word of Life Church sins are forgiven. Everyone that comes to him and confesses their sin and asks that he forgive their sins, they can be forgiven. And he will forgive them. You know, he'll forgive you of any sin that you have in your life. Well, I've done this, and it's really bad. You know, we don't have to worry about that because Christ died for it. He died upon a cross that we may live and live more abundant. You know, life is only Christ. Life doesn't start until you accept Christ in your life. You know, I was thinking of that little baby. Until it's born, it never takes its first breath. It never learns how to walk. But once it's born, it learns the things that it needs to do. Have you ever noticed a baby doesn't start coming out of the womb and walking right off the bat? It doesn't come out and learn the things right off. It doesn't do the sin and stuff until it starts growing. You know, when we accept Christ, we are pure. And we have no sin in our life once we accept him. And once we start walking away, then that's where sin comes. Pray for me. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. You know, it tells us that we should keep his commandments, and we only know him if we do. You know, and the world watches us. They're going to judge us. Well, he says he's a Christian, but he no longer walks like it. He doesn't do the things that Christians do. I saw him out cursing. I saw him out drinking. I saw him out doing. You know, the world's looking at the least little thing to put blame on you and to cast blame upon Christ, to discredit him. And so, and hereby we do we do know that if we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You know, if we live in sin today, whether you're a Christian or what, a sinner, one that doesn't know Christ, we have to keep his commandments before we become justified. And only through Christ can we keep his commandments. You know, you can't do it on your own. I don't care who you are. You can't live a sinless life on your own. I've tried it. I tried to be as good as a man could be. But every time I tried, I had to go back to Christ and say, God, forgive me for what I'm doing. I need you as my God. I need you as my Savior. I need you as my all. Because I can't live this life without you. I can't live a life and even start to live a life without your blood upon me and without your guidance. You know, I was thinking right before I got up here, well, Mark, what are you going to say? What are you going to be up here letting them know? You know, I had nothing in my mind. It was blank. And every time I started looking at the scriptures, my mind went blank. I couldn't even comprehend them. That's where the Holy Ghost and where the Spirit of Christ has to come upon us. Let Jesus fill us, and then we can talk of his love and his word. The Holy Ghost has to come upon us and bring it down to us and let us speak unto you. It's not me that speaks. It's the Holy Spirit. If we try to do it on our own, we will fail. But if we keep not his commandments, is a liar. And we know the liar is going to end up in hell because it says no liar shall enter into the heaven. And the truth is not in. And we look at that truth, it's not just the truth, it's talking about Christ there. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, he's saying, if you lie, if you don't follow my commandments, then I'm not of you. I'm not in you. I'm not going to dwell in a dirty house. You know, that we had to dwell in a clean house. Christ said that he would never dwell in a dirty house. And if you go, if we look in the Word and we find out there's not a sin that's going to enter into heaven, we had to go to Christ and ask for his righteousness. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him, and he that abideth in him ought himself also to walk as he walked. As I said already, Christ lived a sinless life. And everybody says, well, we can't live a sinless life. You're going to mess up one way or the other, and you're going to sin. And you know that's just a crutch. That's just an excuse. We all try to look for that excuse. Well, the devil made me do it. They tricked me into it. You know, it's just excuses for not living a holy life. I remember my grandmother. She died at 96. And if there was ever a woman that lived close to God, it was that lady. She wouldn't allow TV or radio or anything in her house. She would not allow anybody to curse in her house. She would not allow anything that would defile the temple in her house. You know, if she could do it, we could do it. I don't ever remember hearing her talk a vain word or talk anything against anyone or do anything against another person. She tried to help out everybody she could. I'm not trying to glorify her. I'm just trying to illustrate how we could live a good life if we really wanted to. That's what it takes, us wanting to. A lot of times we don't want to live a good life. A lot of times we want to walk away and do the things that we want to do because it feels good to the flesh. It feels good that we're doing it. We want to serve the devil and try to act like we're serving Christ. That's what it is. We're serving the devil and we're enjoying it. But it's been proven time after time that we can live for Christ and live in a holy way. And I kind of feel ashamed when I think of my grandmother. And I think of Christ. Not trying to put them on the same level. But I couldn't even live up to the level my grandmother lived up to. Because the devil, yeah, he puts temptation in me. But yet, I accept the temptation. As many of you do also. I'm not trying to say that I'm righteous or that I'm the biggest sinner in the world, but we all fall by the way. We all have sin in our life. If we go to 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, the 21st verse to the 25th, for even until we are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leave an example that we should follow his steps. Have you ever thought about that you should follow his steps? How many times have you seen Christ go and talk bad about a person? How many times did you see him do the things that he shouldn't do, that we do, and we justify it? We justify ourselves. And there is no justification within ourselves. Our only justification can come through Jesus Christ the righteous. We'll not make it to heaven trying to justify ourselves. We'll not have the life eternal trying to justify ourselves. But it takes Christ's justification in us. Who did no sin, neither was there guile found in him. He didn't even talk bad about people. And how many times do we catch ourselves talking bad about our neighbor or somebody in the family or about somebody else in the church? It's easy to gossip. That's what it's talking about. How many times have you gossiped about people and not gave them a chance? How many times have you talked bad about a person and not even gave them a chance? Well, when you're talking bad about that person, you're talking bad about yourself also. You're doing things that you shouldn't do. You're living in sin. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he was persecuted, he didn't get up and try to hurt another person. When he was talked about, he did not try to talk about other people. He didn't try to even get excuse. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. He went to the Father. His Father, give me strength. And that's where we need to be. Father, give me strength over this temptation. Give me strength not to do the sin that I am tempted to do right now. But yet, we ask the Father to help us, and yet we turn our back and go the other way and run towards the sin. And I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you guys. This hurts me. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live righteously, by whose stripes you were healed. You know, he took our punishment. He's saying he suffered for us, that we wouldn't have to do these things, that we wouldn't have to live an unrighteous life. He showed us the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, he showed us how to walk. But yet we want to walk in sin. We want to walk in the ways that's wrong. And we want to do the things that is evil. Yeah, I've repeated myself several times. But the psychologists and people of the world that's done all the studies says you have to at least repeat yourself three times before a person actually gets it in and understands it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit repeats it so we can understand where we're at, that we can understand what we're doing. Who by his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree. He took his sins upon us. He bore every sin that we have. He took his sin that we didn't have those sins. And he had to die for them. He had to shed his blood for them, that the sacrifice. And if you haven't been here on Wednesday nights, you've missed something, because we talked about the different sacrifices that the children of Israel had to do. And Brother Doug brought them up and shows how the sacrifice was brought through Christ. Whose sacrifice? He gave the ultimate sacrifice, his blood upon that tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live righteous, by whose stripes we are healed. For ye are as sheep gone astray, but ye have now returned unto the shepherd, the bishop of your soul. Can you say that you have returned unto the bishop of your soul, the shepherd of the flock? Or do you keep running out to that sin? I've asked God to forgive me my sin, but I'm going right back to it tonight. I'm going to do the things that I know is wrong. Is there any justification for you? Knowing that you've done wrong, but yet you want to go back to it. knowing that you have served the devil and caused shame upon Christ in this world, but you want to claim him. We'll go to John, 1 John 1, 6 through 10. This is another one of those verses or set of verses I really enjoy. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and the truth is not, and do not the truth. There's a lot of people out there that says, I'm a Christian. There's a lot of churches that say they're a Christian church, and they don't know God any more than they know a stranger on the street. There's a lot of people that says, yes, I'm a Christian, but as soon as other people are away, they're living in a world of sin. They're doing the things that are wrong, and they know that they're wrong. But yet they enjoy sin too much to turn away from them. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You know, I was thinking about that all week long. If we say that we have no sin, how many today could tell us that they have no sin in their life? How many people today could say, I've walked a perfect life? Well, your first sin's right there. Pride and lying. You know, people are proud to be Christians, but a lot of times it's just a proud. They're proud to claim the Christian name, but not live it. What should we say then? We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. A few minutes ago I said Christ told us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Is the truth in you today? Do you live a truthful life with Christ in your heart? And that's you seek more every day to serve him? Do you seek more every day to live that righteous life? That no more sin? You know, a lot of times we hear, well, I'm going to sin more or less every day. Well, you better be sinning less every day and going to the Father for help to get over the sins of our lives. If we confess our sins, now, if we confess our sins, he didn't say, well, it's all right, don't worry about it. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All we've got to do is go to Christ and confess our sins. It didn't say that we had to go to a preacher and confess our sins. It didn't say we had to go one to another and confess our sins. It said if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. It's not me. It's not any preacher. It's no one but him. Christ is the only one we can confess our sins to and be forgiven. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, if we confess our sins, he's going to forgive them. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Now that verse comes back and hits us kind of hard. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. It's not just me. It's not just you. It's nothing to be proud of. It's nothing we should boast about. But we should be going to Christ for forgiveness. And his word is not in us. Christ said, I am the, says he's the word. He is the righteous word. And if we say we haven't sinned, then the word is not in us. Christ cannot live in a dirty house. He cannot live in a house full of sin. I don't care what your sin is. It may be something that you consider small. It may be something that you consider nothing much at all. You've done it so long, you've become used to it. And I have to watch for that because Satan will tempt me with things repeatedly and I can fall in his trap. You can fall in his trap too because the temptation's there. But I found something to be true. That when temptation comes, we can go to the Father. And ask the Father to rebuke it, and it'll go away. as long as we rest upon Him. But our problem is we want to try to do it on our own. Look what I've done. Look how good of a Christian I am. And I'm not a good Christian. I'll tell you that right off. I sin, but I have to go to the Father and get help. When the devil comes upon me, I have to run to him and say, Lord, I can't do it on my own. I need your help. I need your love. I need your way. Just as Jesus walked, I need you to walk that way, Lord, so I need your help. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. How many has those words in your heart? Knowing that Christ is your word, is the word, the truth, and the life that leads you. And you can't go unto the Father except by him. The preacher can't take you there. Preacher's not going to get you to heaven. Mommy and daddy's not going to get you to heaven. Your husband and wife's not going to get you to heaven. It's living life for God. Living a life without sin. And I know this is a lot like the last time I spoke. I talked about that. But I think we could hear that the rest of our life. And I'm not just talking to the church. I'm talking to ones that doesn't know Christ also. You have sin in your life. You have failed to accept Christ as your Savior. And you know, well, everybody, you can look around and say, well, everybody here is a Christian. You don't know that. You don't know another person's heart. And I think, I forget what percentage it is, it's a high percentage of people who go to church and attend regularly are not Christians. I didn't do that number, but I've read it. When it comes right down to it, it just shows that they're not Christians. And we need to pray for those people. We need to pray for everyone. You know, I was telling you that neglecting things. When's the last time you prayed for someone that you know is having a rough time serving God? You know, the body is something to pray for, but how many times do we pray for someone that's having spiritual battles? How many times do we call upon the Lord to help the ones that's fighting that battle? And we don't know what's going on in another person's life. We need to pray that God helps everyone that's in His Word, in His life. You know, I've had physical things and God's healed me from them. But also I've had spiritual battles and God's healed me of those also. That's a greater healing there. If this body would fall over dead in the next minute, if the spiritual's not healed, then I'm going to be dead for eternity. But if I have a spiritual healing, then I'm going to live forever.